Hey, did you know That's Deep Bro is now available on Spotify? Spotify is making it easy for you to stream this podcast and many others like it on your mobile device, desktop app, and smart speaker. Open the app on mobile or desktop, click on the browse channel, and then click on the podcast section. Take me with you wherever you go, thanks to Spotify.
Show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
What is nothing?
Yeah, that's deep.
What in the fuck are we doing here?
What is something?
That's deep, bro.
To That's Deep Bro. I'm your host, Christina P. Thank you for downloading this episode. Big episode this week. Very exciting stuff to get into. But first, let's do some business. March 30th and 31st, I'm doing stand-up comedy at Herium Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon. Tickets for that are going super, super fast. I know I keep saying that. The first show Saturday is already sold out. First show Friday looks like it's going that way too. So hop on that shit, guys. And then April 29th, one night, one show, Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, city of my alma mater of, USF, man, all the way. Go Duns. I can't wait. I love San Francisco. I love going back there. May 4th, Huntington Beach, California, the Rec Room Comedy Club, the Rec Room at Glow Zone, I believe is what that's called, and Huntington. And then May 9th, Oxnard, California, Levity Live, Oxnard Levity Live. I hear it's an amazing venue. It's relatively new, and I can't wait to check it out. So tickets are at Christina P. Online. Get those. Do your Amazon shopping using my banner on That's Deep Bro podcast.com. Yeah, there you go. All right. What else do I have for you? So many things. Oh, I just love this sponsor. I got to tell you. I love these guys. That's Deep Bro is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere, anytime. Do you hear what I'm saying? Anywhere, anytime. You have access to a licensed therapist. You can get your life at all hours, and all you need is a computer with an internet connection or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. Can't imagine fitting anything else into your life? Well, with Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. Get something off your chest whenever you need to. Talk about everyday challenges at work or at home, or just chat about your life. There are no extra commutes. Hey, no leaving the office and no judgments. Remember that therapy isn't just about venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood memories. It's also about practical everyday strategies to make stress management so you can live a happier life. Having a therapist simply provides you a designated person for you to talk to who is trained to listen and help you make positive changes. I agree. You know, I think there's still kind of a stigma to therapy. Like, it's this big, scary thing, and it really isn't. It's just someone who's trained to listen. That's what they say, train to listen and to help you make positive changes. There's absolutely, in my world, nothing as inherently valuable as the time and energy I've put towards going to see a therapist. So Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/bro. Use the code BRO, B-R-O, to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's code B-R-O at Talkspace.com/bro. Thank you, Talkspace. Helping people get their lives for such a long time. What a valuable service that is. Okay. Hey, you've got the ideas. You've got the vision. You're trying to get your life. Isn't it time to build that darn website? Aren't you sick and tired of just talking about the thing that you want the world to see? Guys, there's this thing called the internet, And on it, you can build a beautiful website using Squarespace, and you can turn your cool idea into a website. You can showcase your work. You can blog, publish photos, share pictures of your kid, your dog, whatever. Sell products or services, promote your physical or online business, or even do an announcement for your upcoming event or special project. I just love Squarespace. I've been using them for years before they sponsored this show. I believe in Squarespace because I have used many other platforms. I was an early adapter, as they say. As I think it was Malcolm Gladwell says, an early adapter. And I tried all the other websites that helped you make a website, and they were terrible until I found Squarespace. Because, like, I don't know code. Do you know HTML? Nah, not a lot of us do. A Squarespace, you don't have to. And it's so easy. I swear to God, my 71-year-old father, I referred him to Squarespace, and in about an hour, he was able to put together a website. 71 years old, guys. So go ahead, check it out. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BRO, B-R-O, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com. Enter code BRO. That's right. Thank you so much, Squarespace. I do love them so much. All right. Do you want to try new stuff? I mean, who doesn't want to try new things, especially healthy stuff? You know, recipes that are packed with superfoods and ingredients you may have never heard of, but all developed by a chef and made to taste great. Do you want convenience in your life? I do. Delivery and prep are super easy of Daily Harvest, and it's all straightforward. I love Daily Harvest. I've got a freezer full of their products right now. The other day, Tom and I were like, I want like a milkshake, but I don't. You know what I mean? Because I'm pregnant. I don't want to like waste calories on bad things. And lo and behold, in the freezer, we had this wonderful milkshake with the ingredients. I'm just saying it's a pint and you open it and there's these wonderful, lovely, huge hazelnuts and chunks of cocoa. And I forget what else was in there, but it was so good. And all we had to do was add a little bit of almond milk is what we did. And it was just so great. And we blended it up and it took about 30 whole seconds and bang, we had a sweet treat that wasn't gonna completely ruin my diet. Everything was organic and unrefined. Everything looks and is amazing. So please try it out. Daily Harvest is so convenient and it's the way to get your fruits and vegetables, I'm telling you. So here's what you're gonna do. Go to daily-harvest.com, enter promo code BRO, B-R-O, to get 3 items free in your first box. That's promo code BRO, B-R-O, for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com, daily-harvest.com. Thank you, daily-harvest.com. Oh, man. I tell you, when it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for you. And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bras in sizes AA through G and half cup sizes. And that company is called Third Love. Let me tell you something. As a member of the large chested club, I'd say bra shopping has been the bane of my existence. Because like most women, you know, the girls might be, they're lopsided. It's always a humiliating chore to go to the store to get measured and groped by some weird ladies. It's usually terrible, but I like Third Love because, first of all, Third Love uses thousands of real women's measurements. Hey, how about that? And super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit better and feel great. And did you know that most old school bra brands only carry 15 sizes? Isn't that crazy? 15 sizes for all the boobs in the world, which is so silly. Because Third Love, guess what they did? 60 sizes, including half cups. Thank you. Never heard of half cup sizes? Well, that's because no one else does it. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. To find the bra you've been waiting for, all you have to do is answer a few simple questions from Third Love's Fit Finder quiz. It just takes 60 seconds and you can do it all from the comfort of your own home. So you'll never have that awkward fitting room experience again. My God. Try a Third Love bra. It's so comfortable. uncomfortable, you might forget you're wearing it. And if you don't agree, returns and exchanges are always easy and free. This year, make the change that will change the way you think about bras. Go to thirdlove.com/bro right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/bro. thirdlove.com/bro. Thank you, Third Love. I hate that, man. My whole life I've had to buy, that half size thing is a real thing. My whole life I've had to buy a cup size that's like one size smaller for my bigger one. So like one boob just spills out. It's just ridiculous until I tried Third Love. And I'm like, oh yeah, like why can't we just do a GD half size? Anyways, support for That's Deep Bro comes in part from Care Of, a monthly subscription vitamin service personally tailored to your exact needs. Even when you try to maintain a healthy diet, it can be hard to get all the nutrients your body needs for long-term health. Care Of's fun online quiz makes it really easy to figure out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. The short quiz asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices and uses these answers to create personalized vitamin packs just for you. Your subscription box includes individually wrapped packets with your specific vitamins and supplements for easy grab and go. You'll receive a 30-day supply shipped right to your door. It costs about 20% less when compared to similar brands at local drug and health food stores. Now, what I love about this company, because I took the quiz, and it really, what they like to do is figure out what your goals are, which I like because, like, I've tried the vitamin game. I mean, I take prenatals because I'm pregnant right now, but I feel like, you know, you go to some hippie store, right? And you're like, my cholesterol is high, or I'd like to be more alert. And, you know, some guy with a ponytail is like, oh, you know what I do? I take this and that. And you're like, you know, you're not an expert. What are you talking about, bro? But Care Of, they are experts, and you know, it's, they have like everything. Like, are you trying to boost your immunity? Are you trying to be less stressed out? Are you trying to be healthy for a pregnancy? Are you trying to, are you training for something? So that's kind of the neat part about this company, is that they really tailor your vitamins to what your goals are. I like that. So for 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter promo code bro. That's takecareof.com, code bro, for 25% off your first month. Thank you, Care Of. Gosh, we're so healthy. Aren't we healthy? Aren't we good? Aren't we improving our lives? Aren't we getting our lives? Yes, we are. You got to do it, guys. You've only got one. You got to take care of yourself. All right, let's get into it. I got a lot of stuff to cover. And I've been listening to Electric Light Orchestra. Don't ask me why. I mean, it's really not my lane. You know me, I don't like fucking hippie music. But I don't know. I like these. It's silly. This music's silly.
Rolling and riding and sleeping and sliding.
silly. What a silly man. I like them. I don't know what got me. I was watching my kid take a bath, and I'm like, oh, Electric Light Orchestra, man. He got into that. I can't wait to teach my kid about good music. Anyways, so this week, guys, I've been, man, I'm really stretching my boundaries here this week. I enrolled in an acting class, and man, like, you know, I've always been in this business really rewarded for being an asshole. You know, just kind of, I usually get hired to, you know, write for shows, or I say snarky things in a bubble, you know, like those VH1 shows where, you know, I love the 90s or whatever the hell. I did a lot of those, a lot of clip shows and World's Dumbest and this and that. But, you know, acting's always been my kind of a, I don't know, I think because it requires feelings and being vulnerable, it's just like, oof. For some reason, I can do it as a stand-up. Super easy to be vulnerable with hundreds of people. Oh man. Anyways, I'm doing it. You know, I got to do it because I've have some stuff come up that I want to try and this and that, but it's hard. It's so hard to step out of your comfort zone. And I forget because I believe in this rule of just doing stuff you're good at. I don't fuck with shit that I can't do really well. And I think that's important when you're 41 to learn. You just learn, like, hey, there's some stuff I'm not great at, and that's fine. I don't have to be good at everything. I just have to be really good at small, like these few things, and fuck all the rest. And I think that's the key to success for a lot of people, is focus on the strong suit and, you know, forget the rest of the stuff. So anyways, I have to stretch out. I just have to. It's time. And, you know, I just have to keep reminding myself, and I think it happens when you do anything new, any new enterprise, you got to remind yourself, like, to be kind to yourself and to be patient and not expect perfection, and to just be kind to yourself, because it's so horrible. You know how many years people spend acting? Their whole lives, just their whole lives. And it's so hard. It really, it's such a skill. Gosh, I have so much respect for people that can actually do it for a living, but I'm having to, you know, to stretch, to reach. And that's what your emails are about every week, right? Is I'm afraid to do this thing. I don't know what to do. I'm trying this. How do I do this and that? And it's like, well, how do you do anything new? You prepare as best you can. And you pick the best players, right? You go to the best. You surround yourself with good people. And then you dip your toe in and you patiently, kindly move forward in the mud of your own stuff. And it's really easy to shit on yourself. I know in this acting class, I think we're going to go over it next class where you talk about the bad thoughts you have about your acting and then the good thoughts you can replace those thoughts with, all that stuff. I'm a firm believer in all that, but it's going to be interesting to hear other people's horrible thoughts in their head because God knows I have my own. But it's cute. It's good because I get to be in class with like 20-year-old people again, and like, I love 20-somethings. I love that age. I feel so much empathy for anybody going through their 20s. It's like the fucking worst thing. And it's such a decade of anxiety and suffering. And like, there's so much pressure on you. You've just graduated from college usually. And the world is like, well, what are you going to do now, millennial? Get your shit together. And they're just like, wait, what? What do you mean? I mean, my generation too. Okay, graduate now, what? You don't have a job yet? You're not a professional yet? It's so horrible. There's so much pressure. Especially if you want to be a creative person, you've got to like really double down on all that stuff. But I'm enjoying hanging out with these kiddos, and I'm pregnant. So I think I can't even imagine what I look like to them. I must be like the oldest person in the world when like a 24-year-old girl looks at me. They're like, are you 80? I can't even imagine what I must. So funny. Because I remember when I was that age, like, I didn't talk to 40-year-olds. 40-year-olds were so gross to me because they were like, they're usually all spiritual and together and like, ugh, what do they talk? What do they do, 40-year-olds? They probably just have dinner parties and like do yoga and shop at Crate and Barrel, which is pretty accurate, actually. It's exactly what we all do, you know, but it's such a world apart. I had like this group of 20-something-year-old kids at my house. We were rehearsing, and they were like, one girl goes, I haven't been in a house since I left my parents. An actual house. I was like, I know, boo-boo. Well, I'm like double your age, you know. You'll have it too when you're hopefully, you know, 40-something. But God, boy, do I remember. Boy, do I remember. Fresh in my memory, not so long ago, being 20-something and just cute as a button, but totally lost and feeling like shit will never pan out. But it does. It does. Believe me, kiddos, you just hang in there and you stick to the course. You do your things and you suffer and, you know, you get through that shit, right? Oh, but the suffering, you have to go through it. There's always suffering. There's always suffering involved in change and in growth, right? There's no such thing as like you just pop, you're there. And no, it's always a process. And there's always growing pains. It's tough. Tough, man. Every stage in life has a new ball of fuckery to get yourself into. I mean, hell, man, I'm at the stage of like about to have a second kid. What is that going to be like? I mean, I don't know. Some days one, you're like, I don't even know if I can do another. I don't even know. I don't even know. I mean, I love him to death. He's the light of my life, but fuck, I'm tired. And if he cries one more time, my head's going to explode. Add in another one. Am I out of my mind? But then I think stuff like, you know what? You only live once. And I just love being a mother and I love this kid. I can't see him being an only child. I hated being an only child. It was so depressing. I was just thinking about it last night, how like I was alone all the time. Just alone, being weird, watching TV, listening to records, talking to the wall. I can't do that to my kid, man. That ain't shit, ain't right. So I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna have another kid. I'm gonna do it. And you know, and I'm an old ass mom too, so that means I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna drop dead. I want him to have a fucking sibling. Okay, let's get into some emails because I really, really, they're so good. They're so good. And hopefully my nose won't get too congested as we do this. Sorry, guys. It's just a pregnancy thing. You know, when you start talking, it's like, okay, let's do our intro.
You want to know why you're all fucked up?
Thank you, Dan Pena. Oh, and look, the music started for my iTunes. Oh, my God. Is this a professional production or what? You know what I mean? Am I a fucking podcaster? Okay. This is from Angie. Angie. She writes, I'm honestly confused here. I keep hearing how important it is to feel your feelings. Why? If my feelings suck, why would I want to feel shitty if I can avoid it? I know that not feeling your shitty feelings leads to addictive behavior, but why? How does one lead to the other? I guess I need to understand the full circle to believe it. Thanks. I know. I agree with you. Why? Why? Why do I have to feel the shitty feelings? Why? I know. And see, that's the thinking that gets you into addiction and drinking. So what happens? Okay, you're sitting around, and at least this is how I go through it. I'm sitting around the house or whatever, and I just feel yucky inside, right? Something's wrong. I'm just meowy. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go out. I don't want to have fun. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know? Well, I learned that when I start to feel that way, it's because I'm actually not feeling something. And then I stop and I go, okay, what am I avoiding right now? What's the avoidance behavior? Because that's just me. And if I think about it, you know, it's usually a handful of issues that I go through over and over. It's not that I'm not that creative in what I feel, you know, get bummed about. And then I go, oh, yeah, that's it. Okay, yeah, I think it is that sadness about X, Y, and Z, right? And I will immerse myself in the feeling, okay? Put on some music, maybe make myself sadder, but sit there and really just let it kind of wash through me. Like, you let it pass through you in a porous manner. Like, it keeps you kind of soft and pliable. And we do this because if we resist the bad feeling, if you resist it and you go, you know what, I don't like feeling bad. But by the way, nobody likes feeling bad feelings. Nobody enjoys it, just like nobody enjoys diarrhea or vomiting. Like, you just fucking sometimes do it, right? Oof, especially me with the vomiting. But anyway, you don't like it. But the problem is, nobody likes it. But if you avoid, the avoidance behavior becomes more destructive than just chilling out for a few minutes, excuse me, and letting it pass through you, letting it go through you. And the avoidance of the bad feeling is the devil, basically. Why? Because your brain is going to fucking play tricks on you and try to get you around the thing that's uncomfortable, i.e. feeling. And that's when you're going to pick up a bunch of bad habits and do horrible shit to yourself, avoidance behavior. Why? I don't know. It's human nature. It's just a human trait. We don't like feeling bad. Nobody likes feeling bad. And that's also a lot of our American culture. I think, you know, hey, what's the basis of capitalism, right? Have a Coke and a smile, asshole. You feel fat, there's something you can buy for that. You feel depressed, there's a pill you can take for that. You feel ugly, guess what? There's a surgery you can do for that. If you get this car, girls are going to want to fuck you. And if your thighs are thinner, if you use this product, guys are going to love you too. So, like, there's this whole industry built on avoiding your feelings of feeling fat, ugly, inferior, sad, whatever it is. Yeah. So feelings are like part of the human experience, from what I understand. I don't like them either. Listen, Angie, you're talking to somebody who's a grade A feeling avoider for, I would say a good 37 years of my life has been spent avoiding feeling stuff. And instead of feeling stuff, I would like overeat, maybe drink, whatever the fuck I would do, stupid things. Workaholism, all that shit, right? But yeah, you do have to feel shitty. You just have to. Like I said, it's like having diarrhea or any other unpleasant part of the human experience. But once you find that you allow yourself to just feel stuff, it gets easier. And once you realize that it's not a permanent state of your being, right? Like, hey, I'm sad about this thing, but we, you know what it is? Like, we get so built up in our heads about the anxiety about feeling the thing. That's the actual torture of it, is the anxiety about feeling bad. Because once you just feel sad and you let yourself cry or you let it pass through you, you go, oh, okay, well, that was it. That was the storm, right? That's the metaphor of the storm has been used in like so many Charlotte Bronte books, Bronte sisters, right? I don't know. The Awakening, fucking all these, if you ever watch like a movie and there's a storm, it's to signify like change the feelings, the emotion, something is on the horizon, right? And it has to make way for the new. And the storm allows the chaos to come up and then it passes and then something new comes. That's always the metaphor of a storm in literature or film. Okay. Same with feelings, right? It's a storm. It's a storm before the calm. It's all that shit is, man. And here's the real thing of it, too. If you're not allowing yourself to feel sadness, which is what I learned in, a decade or so of therapy, you also cheat yourself out of joy. And that's the crazy part. It's not like you can lock off one emotion in your body and in your heart and in your mind, whatever. You can't lock off one thing and be like, I'll feel all this other shit, but not this. It doesn't work that way. It kind of shuts all the systems go down in humans. And yeah, I mean, you've seen people that can't feel. They're called sociopaths, CEOs, Harvey Weinsteins. These guys they don't feel shit and they end up hurting other people. you know, to compensate for that horrible, those bad feelings that they're not feeling. That's really the truth of it. It's so fucking scary. It's so crazy because I feel like the world would benefit so much if you just felt your feelings. That's really the crux of so many problems and traumatized people. And it's rightly so. I mean, when you're traumatized as a young person or whatever, you're taught that feelings are bad, right? So of course you're not going to want to feel them because you've been taught over and over repeatedly that you're fucking weak. Don't cry. Crying's for sissies. My father actually said to me, oh, well, crying is just feeling sorry for yourself. Crying is just feeling sorry for yourself. I mean, he also thought that conditioner was just putting grease back into your hair. Those are direct quotes. Now, do you think he was raised by an empathetic, enlightened set of parents? No, of course not, which is why he believed those horrible things. But it is my duty as I'm not even first generation American, my son is, but as an American in a first world country who has the means to correct this thinking, this destructive thinking, it's my duty to fucking correct it. So I do. But yeah, you've been, you know, taught the feelings are bad, and people tell their kids shit all the time that's wrong. I see it constantly when the kid's crying about something. It's okay. It's okay. You want to comfort. Stop. Just it's okay. It's okay. What are you doing? You're telling that kid that they're not entitled to feel how they feel. Just stop. I don't want to hear this. You know, it's all right. You're fine. Buck it up. Suck it up. Well-meaning, but I think really flawed way in dealing with little people who have, especially toddlers, have tremendous feelings happening all the time. They're feeling storms. They go from 0 to 10 all day, every day, and that's their job, is to just go from 0 to 10. So when they're at the 10, it's like, you just got to let it pass. You got to let the storm pass, and it does, and then they're sweet as pie again. And then, you know, they're learning to manage their feelings. And it's my job to hold a space, right? As my therapist said, you gotta hold a space. Let that kid do what he's gonna do. Because that's how you fucking make fucked up people. Telling little boys, especially little boys. Oh my God. There's a whole generation of fucking serial killer men. Namely my father's generation. You know, they're made into fucking psychos because their mommies and their daddies told them what homos they were for crying. Suck it up. Suck it up, sissy. Quit your crying, right? It's really dark. It's really terrible. So I agree with you, Angie. I don't like to feel bad feelings either. Nobody does. And you really can't avoid it. That's the fucking rub too. You think you're avoiding it by drinking, by whatever destructive behavior you're doing, sex, gambling, you name it, whatever vice, but you're not. It's just, it's going to come back even harder, you know, because you end up doing worse shit. You drink, you throw shit across the room, you get into fights with people, you whatever, and now you're in jail and you wake up and you're ashamed and then the whole cycle continues. That's why you feel your feelings now. So you don't fucking up. Okay, let's move on. Ilaria, remember that beautiful named Ilaria? So great. She writes, my first name is Ilaria and it means cheerful. Isn't that funny? That's great. It's Italian. Anyway, she wrote back to me. She said she's going. So well, the problem was her mother, who she has no contact with, is going to be at an upcoming wedding of her cousins. And Ilaria was debating whether or not to go because she's no contact with her mom and she knows she's going to get roped into some bullshit with her. And I suggested she go. Don't let her fucking ruin your life, right? So she says, I'm going to go because, as you said, I can't give her this much power. Not anymore. Yeah, girl, get your life, Ilaria. Very happy for you. And as I said last week, you know, just do your best to protect yourself. There's nothing wrong. You got to protect your neck, right? Insulate yourself. Surround yourself with the good people. Don't sit at the fucking table with her. Tell your cousin in advance, I don't want to be at a table with my mom. Please don't put me there. Have an exit strategy. Have a plan, because you know she's going to fuck with you. She's going to say some messed up shit. That's what they do, these crazy people. Plan on it. Plan that she's going to be a turd, so you know what you're going to do and say and think, okay? Anyways, let's move on. This next one, this is a sweet one. This one's so sweet. This is from Lewis. Oh, my first little friend growing up, his name was Lewis. Hi, Mommy. So I haven't really ever dated in my 30 years. I've mostly just hooked up with girls here and there. Where's my glasses? I mean, am I fucking 80 years old? I gotta put my Anna Wintour's on. My longest relationship lasted a month, which is about 10 years ago. But lately I've been feeling lonely, and honestly, I'm a bit tired of just sex, so I thought I'd start dating again. The only problem is that I work a lot, 60-hour weeks. Oof. I don't have much free time. Now, I love my job, but sometimes I feel like it's getting in the way of any potential love life. I mean, would you date someone who you see for an hour or two a day? Do you think I'm just using my job as an excuse to not date? Do people who work 50, 60 plus hours per week actually date? Is this what grown-up dating is? Much love, no hate, Lewis. Hey, do you think that he's using his job as an excuse not to date? Yeah. Yeah, I think people use work as an excuse to not live a lot of their lives. I think Americans especially are so prone, especially men, are prone to workaholism. Workaholicism, fuck, I don't know, are prone to that. That's what America is based on. And look at the Japanese. By the way, the Japanese who work more than 60 hours a week, I read some article that they're just dropping dead in the streets. I don't know if that's true. But like Japanese businessmen are just dropping on the streets from exhaustion. And it's not cool. It's not fucking right. Yeah, I do. I think you are using workaholism to not live, not just get along, let alone date. And I get it. I do. I think I did the same. I did the same shit for a decade. So you've only had longest relationship, well, I said 1 month, which is about 10 years ago. Yeah, so you're pretty fucking, you're ready, dude. You're 30 years old, and you've only had one relationship that's lasted 1 month? Wow. You got to get on this, dude. Because here's what happens, Lewis, my love. If you wait even longer, you're going to be a wag. Weird, alone guy. And it doesn't sound like you want to be a wag. It's fine to be a wag if you want to be one. It doesn't sound like you want to be. So, yeah. Here's what we're going to do, my love, my sweet lamb. Your work is getting in the way, it is, of finding a potential love life. Because here's the truth of it, okay? And I understand in the beginning, of if you're a business owner and your shit is, you're trying to get things up and running, yes, there's going to be a few years or whatever, where you're hustling, you're in the hustle, you're in the grind, and you got to fucking work your 12-hour days. You got to go in on the weekends. But then once things are up and running, if you're successful, if you're doing it right, you have people take over certain tasks for you. You outsource things. You streamline things. Why are you working 60 hours a week? It's too much. And also, like, this idea that you have to work all the time to be productive is so wrong. You know, I don't know if this is just a function of my middle-aged brain, but, like, I keep having this thing lately. Whenever I think about work and home life and the balance and all that stuff, I literally think of myself sitting on my deathbed, and I do this all the time. When someone asks me, like, hey, do you want to go to this town or do this gig or blah, 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 and I know that that's going to take me away from my family for days or it's going to eat up time that I don't fucking have, right? I always go, okay, well, is this going to be something when I'm sitting on my deathbed, I'm going to go, you know what? I'm really stoked I did that. I'm really fucking stoked I took that gig in Peoria for 5 days where I could have done, you know, one show in a theater as opposed, whatever the fuck the balance is, okay? And the older you get to, you get more leverage, hopefully, in your time management. Because it's true, in your 20s and even in your 30s, your time is not your own, generally, because you're working for somebody else, or, you know, you're working your way up. So yes, it's to be expected. But the older you get, hopefully, you've gotten to a place where you can manage your time more wisely. You work more efficiently. As I was saying at the top of this show, I generally don't do shit that I'm bad at. Why? Because it's not efficient. It is fucking inefficient, and it is a waste of my time. I'm not going to be a ballerina. I'm not going to be a dancer. Why? Because I'm a fucking stand-up comedian, and all I know how to do is write a good shit joke. And I'm there. You know what I'm saying? Like there's things I'm good at. I don't fuck with things I'm bad at. So if I do things I'm bad at, i.e. this acting class right now, it's because there's a purpose, there's a design, there's a reason. And I've also set aside the time knowing that I will be devoting it to this thing, right? I'm setting aside the time to do this thing because there's a long-term benefit. There's a cost-benefit analysis. Now I ask you this, my love, Lewis. How much time do you really need to work? Really? And really fucking, you know, when I worked a 9-to-5 job, I was stunned by how little time in those 8-hour days I would actually spend doing work. And you fucking know that, okay? You know that shit. Okay, you come in, you stroll in, you start times 9, you stroll in 9:15, you get your coffee, you thumb your cooch a little, you're looking at, you know, your emails, you're checking the Facebook, you're on the grant, whatever it is, you're dicking around, you're not being efficient. You're not. And I know you're like, but I have to work this hard to sustain this thing. Okay. Well, on your deathbed, what are you going to be more stoked about? That you worked 60 hours a week, or that you reorganized your life, you reprioritized your life so that you could make room for other things? And that's the truth of it. And that's why we don't exercise. And that's why you don't fucking have time for love. That's why you don't have time to relax or enjoy movies or whatever it is that you enjoy. It's because you're not prioritizing your time wisely. That's just it. Your priorities are somewhere else. And right now your priorities are in work for whatever reason you're going to tell yourself, right? You got, I got to do this. I got to put, okay, all right. I guarantee you, and especially once you start having kids, you will fucking realize how much time you have wasted, how much jerk-off time you've actually spent doing nothing. Because once you have a family, oh boy, you start to economize on everything. So, and by the way, is it even that fun to work 60 hours a week? Is it really good? And are you really working all that time? And wouldn't it be wonderful to have a love life? Wouldn't it be wonderful to come home and cook dinner with some great girl who you love and spend the night with her? So yeah, create the space, cut back, figure out where you can trim the fat in your schedule and start fucking dating people. Now, from what I understand, I just met a girl. I was doing my research at the hair salon, talking to a millennial. And she met her boyfriend online. You know, there's a million of these apps. I can't tell you what it's called. I don't know. But I asked her about these apps and she goes, yeah, you know, you meet a bunch of people. You meet a lot of people you never normally would. And I just kept meeting them until I met this guy and we had a great time. And now we're dating. It's been almost a year, blah, blah, blah. So put yourself out there. Fuck the past. Don't think about your, you know, don't tell her either on your first date. I've only ever had one relationship 10 years ago. But you have to put yourself out there. You know, it sucks. It does. And yeah, put yourself out there. Time to get on the apps. Time to put time towards that. Because I, from what I understand, that is another part-time job. is dating. From what I understand, the millennials are telling me, guys, my research is that it's fucking, it's a whole other thing. I guess there's companies now that manage people's dating lives because it's such a time consumer. So yeah, prepare yourself for that, right? You're going to prepare yourself to spend time dating. And also, I might suggest seeing a shrink Why is it that you are running from relationships so much? What is it about being with women that terrifies you so? What happened? What happened in that last one? Whatever the fuck it is. See, shrink, get your life, start fucking. You know why? Life's too short not to enjoy the company of a partner that you enjoy. Why be alone? Unless being alone brings you joy. Or get a dog. You know what, man? Actually, Lewis, I would tell you to start with an animal. I don't know if you're a cat person or a dog person. Start with an animal. Rescue a cat or a dog and make time for that little dude. I think it'll start to open your heart. I think that's the way to start. It'll get you feeling. It'll get you loving. It'll get you, you know, warm and fuzzies. And you can go social. For instance, I'm a Brussels Griffon enthusiast. That's my breed. And there are all these like Brussels Griffon meetup groups. I don't go to them because I fucking have a child and a life that is way too demanding. I would love to go to a Brussels Griffon meetup group, honestly. But I was thinking, like, if I were single and I wanted to make new friends and, you know, meet dudes, like, I would find other people that like the same corny stuff that I do. I love Brussels. I would go and meet these nerds that have the same dog breed of dog that I do, and I would talk Brussels shit with them. So yeah, find an animal and then get involved in animal groups. No, I don't know about all of that. But why not? Why not get a cat or a dog? Come on, put some love in your life. Start there and then baby step it. And please let me know how it goes. I'm so curious. I'm so curious. Let me know. Get your dating life, mommy. Get your dating life. All right. All right. Let's see. Oh, sorry, guys. I pee every hour. Every motherfucking hour I get up to piss. I swear to God. It's really fun. Okay. Hi, Christina. What can a bro do when he loves somebody who ostensibly does not want to get better? Ooh. So this is quite a topic, but here we go. You often talk about the importance of not letting other people's problems become your problems. And I usually agree. I strive not to get dragged into other people's psychological bullshit that I know I cannot fix. But I find myself in a relationship with a guy. We are gay men in our 20s who was a victim of child sexual abuse. Every little thing sends him on a catastrophizing spiral of negative emotions about anyone who has wronged him in the past, almost as though he has grown to view everyone, me included, he has a negative interaction with as an abuser. Dude has a crazy victim complex, but how can I blame him? He is a victim after all. He refuses to get help. I want to tell him he's a dummy because he's only been to talk therapy, where the extent of the treatment has basically been, I'm sorry that happened to you. And it is proven that CBT, DBT, EMDR, etc. are much better treatments for PTSD, especially this EMDR. Paul Gilmartin talks about it a lot on his Mental Illness Happy Hour podcast. EMDR is fantastic, especially for people with sexual abuse trauma, from what I hear. Anyways, he writes, I feel he needs to get some coping mechanisms to stop his negative spirals. He lives with his mom and has no job. He needs to get his life. I guess I just don't know what my role is here. My instinct is to fix him, but I know that's just wrong. Usually I hug him and while he cries, sometimes it feels like the enjoyment I get out of spending time together isn't worth the nasty way he acts out when he is in a bad place. I don't know to what extent I need to cut him some slack when he refuses to admit any fault and instead views himself as a victim in all things. I want to see him get help strategizing his PTSD and start studying or working on something that will bring him fulfillment. As it is now, my love for him seems to be the only thing giving him validation and a good self-image. It's a lot of pressure. What can a bro do when he loves somebody who ostensibly doesn't want to get better? Love. I don't know if I can say her name. Well, you didn't say not to. Okay, Dale. Oh, Dale, I'm so sorry. It's such a fucking conundrum. Yeah, I will say it's terrible. Okay, let's start from I'm dating somebody who doesn't want to get their life. And what do we say? Well, I always say get your life. And what that means is get your ass into therapy, get your ass on a track to get your shit together. Okay. Now, if you're somebody who's gotten their life, it's really, really, really difficult to watch somebody who doesn't even want to really get theirs. It's almost impossible. So you're telling me that this guy refuses to get any kind of help. I want to tell him he's going to talk therapy. Oh, he's only been to talk therapy. Yeah, and it doesn't sound like he's actively engaged in any form of therapy. I hate to say this, my love. And in this case, part of getting your life is to leave him so that he has to get his. I know it sounds cruel. It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. But he doesn't have much of a life, okay? He's in his 20s, which is fine. He lives at home. He doesn't have a job. He lives with his mom, and he's not getting help. So I don't know. I mean, honestly, in my experience, it tends to get bad, especially when one of you is really a productive person and is goal-oriented and is really getting their life, and the other one just kind of sinks and sinks and sinks and sinks. You don't mention substance abuse with him. I wouldn't be surprised if that's going to start or hasn't already started. He sounds very angry. You know what? I gotta tell you, I'm just gonna fucking deal straight up, bro. I think the best way you can help him is to be a friend, but maybe take the, you know, the boyfriend aspect out of it, the sexual part out of it, until he can manage the rage and the horrible feelings of being sexually abused. I think, you know, because really, it just sounds like that might be reintroducing more. It's aggravating him, is what I'm saying. Like, you probably being his boyfriend and being, you know, you guys are enmeshed in whatever weird codependent thing you're doing. And it sucks. I'm sorry. I know. I hate telling people to leave people, but I don't say abandon this guy. But for your sake, my love, Dale, you're very young. And I would hate to see you kind of stick around and feel out of guilt. And I honestly do feel like these letters, a lot of the times I feel like you just want my permission to leave. In which case I say, yeah, you have my permission. Go and take care of yourself. Because, you know, you got the only part of getting your life is to let other people get theirs on their own. You can't force someone to get their life, but you can set a wonderful example. I had this great philosophy teacher, Dr. Makis at USF. He's now dead, but he was so great. He goes, you can't really force other people to do stuff, but you can affect how they live by how you live. And he was like, how is that possible? Well, because you set an example, right? You show him through your example, like, hey, this is how it looks to live a healthy life. And if he's not on board, he's not on board. And right now he's not ready to get treatment. He's not ready to get help. It's not in his cards. So it's just going to make you feel fucking horrible. But, you know, try to stay his friend if you can. I would take the sex out of it if you can. Start seeing other people. Now, I would not recommend this for a straight couple. Have you noticed that? I would not tell a straight guy to stick around with a girl. Why is that? Well, very un-PC thing I'm about to say, but I don't give a shit, because I've grown up with gay man friends and watching them and their relationships. A lot of times, gay men have the ability to fuck and then stop fucking and still be friends. I don't know what that magic is. I wish that straight people had this ability. Gay men tend to be able to foster really close friendships and like have no hard feelings about not fucking anymore. And if you think you can do that with this guy, Dale, I would recommend that you do that. Just fucking stop fucking him. Be there, you know, but just not as enmeshed, not as... Keep your distance. Go date other people eventually. I mean, don't let him know that right away. Oh, my God. But, you know.
You gotta get your life. Ugh, poor, I'm so sorry. It's so devastating, you know. You like somebody and then, you know, you find out horrible shit and you're just like, well, what do I do now? I can't leave them. I'm his one source of good thing, right? But that's not a reason to stay with somebody, is it? It's really not. It's not enough of a reason because that person desperately needs you. Because if you're not there, his whole world falls apart. Oh boy, that's way too much, right? Too much. And you're also gay men in your 20s. I mean, this is the height of your boning time, okay? By the way, gay men stock doesn't get any fucking higher than in your 20s. Actually, that's not true. Because I have a friend who's in his 40s and he's telling me now that there's a whole thing of like older gay dudes getting it. Okay, so maybe that's revised. But you know what I'm saying. You're a gay dude in his 20s. Go find other dudes, preferably ones without so many things they need to work out, you know. And hey, this guy you're seeing, he might be great in a decade. He might be great in 5 years once he's processed whatever it is he needs to go through. But for now, my love, I think the best way to get your life and to help him get his life is for you to live separate lives or just not be so enmeshed in each other's fucking Kool-Aid. Okay. Okay. We'll do one last one and then I gotta eat again. Okay. Okay, here she goes. Okay, I'm 27. This person writes, I want to start living the last bit of my 20s life. I was raised by a strict religious mother and a drug-addled, sometimes abusive father. I was homeschooled until I went to one of the most conservative Christian colleges in the country. While there, I lost my faith and friends and became clinically depressed. With no faith or friends, my college experience became that of sleeping 12 hours a day, existing on fiber bars my mother sent me because I couldn't find anyone to sit with in the cafeteria, and watching 30 Rock on my computer. I spent the summer of my senior year helping my father withdraw from opioids, only to be told 6 months later, after a Southern literature class, that he had died instantly of a heart attack. I graduated and returned home. I had to help tie up loose ends in my father's business. After that, still in depression, I worked temp jobs until a year later when my mother got married and moved to the Midwest with my sister. I went with them partly because my sister was being bullied at her new school and partly because I was worried what I might do if I was alone. 2 years later, my sister is in college and happy. I'm working a boring customer service job. But I've gotten help and can manage the depression. I feel strong enough to leave and start getting my life, but how? I feel so old from standing still. I haven't had any of the normal social and professional experiences for someone my age, and I'm embarrassed by it. Also, where do I go? What do I do? Okay. So cute. Okay, thanks and love. 20s questions. Well, 20s questions. You're so sweet. All right, look. I'm going to tell you something that I think everybody needs to fucking hear. You're going to need to hear this in your life. And I... Anyways, here's the deal. Here's the deal, 20s questions. You are not your past. You are not your fucked up daddy. You're not your fucked up mommy. You're not your fucked up homeschooling experiences. You're not your religious past. You're not your friends that you lost. You're not any of these times where you watched 30 Rock alone in your room. You are you today. You are the 27-year-old woman who wants to get her life. You're that person right now. So you got to stop flogging yourself for the person you were, for the things that happened to you. And I know it's a lot. You've been through a lot. It doesn't sound easy. Are you really that behind? I don't think so. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity to experience, the world. You're only 27, boo-boo. You're not that far behind. And by the way, I don't believe in this age behind and this and forward and where are we? It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, I think it's such a complex that it's such a self-inflicted complex is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Like it's okay. So you're 27 and you're just now kind of starting your life. Great. Better now than never. You're 37 and you're just starting your life. Great. Better now than never. Like what else are you going to do? Really? What else are you going to do? But put one foot in front of the other and start your life. And you don't know what you want to do. You don't know what the fuck. Okay. What do I go? What do I do? That part, I don't know. You're going to have to ask yourself that. What are you interested in? What tickles your taint? What idea, what crazy fantasy do you have? By the way, they're not all that crazy. The shit that you think you want to do, like, oh, I want to be a writer. I want to be a model. I want to be whatever. Yeah, you can do that shit. You actually can do that shit. Whether or not you'll succeed, I don't know, but you can take steps to do it. I think you just need the courage to take the leap of faith, right? And everybody takes a leap of faith at some point, right? There's a card I used to have on my desk before I quit my day job. It said like something corny, like leap, leap, and the net will appear. And yeah, it kind of does happen that way. It takes time sometimes, but we have to stop flogging ourselves for who we were and where we came from, right? That's like number one. And find your guideposts. Find the people that inspire you. Listen to the people that inspire you. Don't, you know, find your, you know, like I always bring up Louise Hay. I love her. I love Tony Robbins. I love, you know, Marianne Williamson. Find your gurus, your people that make you feel inspired about life. And F all the haters, man. You gotta go with your insides on this stuff. We've all had dark periods too, my love. We've all had those, the watching 30 Rock on your computer and being anti. Yeah, of course. For me, it was Puzzle Bobble. I think there was a few months in my 20s where I was on an unemployment vacation and I played Puzzle Bobble every day for like a month and just stayed indoors until my elderly neighbor was like, you know, you can't stay in all day, right? I'm like, how did you know? But that's okay. You're going to take baby steps, right? We're going to do the shit that we can do every day. You're going to go buy some career books. What color is my parachute? That's a great one. You're going to take some Myers-Briggs tests online. What kind of person am I? What are my interests? What do I like? Who am I? You're going to start there. And then you're going to gently move yourself in that direction because you've got no other fucking choice. What else are you going to do? You gonna fucking Grey Gardens it with your mom and your sister until you're 40? No. No, you're not. Because you want to get out. You want to do shit. You do. You want to. You just don't trust yourself. So trust yourself. Take your leaps. Know that the net eventually appears. Eventually it will. And just be brave, my motherfuckers. Right? You got to be brave. You got to believe in yourself. Because, you know, who else is gonna, and that's, you know, you gotta create it. The life you want, you must actively create it. Actively, actively. It doesn't just happen. Fuck that. It never just happens. You gotta actively create, my boo-boos. So, anyways, I'm gonna go, but I love you guys. Email me, that's deeprowpodcast@gmail.com. And come see me do stand up, Christina P online for tickets. And that's it, bros. And until next time, that's been D Bro. All right. Believe in yourself.
Now what? I don't know. Philosophize with.
Christina P, aka Miss Jeans. This ain't your mom's house. It's a different theme. Gotta be critically thinking. Like you caught up at a cocktail party, our thoughts start to sink in. John Locke, or was it Socrates? Aristotle or Plato, maybe Hippocrates. Got us talking all properly, topically. Just just a comedian discussing these philosophies. Serious questions, silly people. What's that? What's that? That's deep, bro.
It is the ultimate metaphor for life. And you know what that is?
What?
That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro.